Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's session. It is the 131st session of Mindfulness for Beginners in English, conducted by Nisaranawane Forest Monastery. I would like to welcome Venerable Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for this session. We would also like to welcome everyone who's joining via Zoom and via Facebook live stream, and those who are downloading to watch later. Our program will commence as usual with the in-session practice of mindfulness, and then will be followed by the talk from Bhante, and then it will be over to the questions and answers and the reports from listeners. So to begin the session, let me invite Bhante for the in-session practice for mindfulness. Over to you, Bhante.
Thanks, Sonali. Hello, everyone. So today we are going to take some time to do a mindful sitting session to start our program. For this, you need to make sure that you are seated comfortably. Adjust your seat, balance your body. Make sure that you are comfortable in your posture. Once you are comfortable, you can gently close your eyes and see what you feel in the present moment. You are seated in a comfortable manner and you have your eyes closed. A variety of things might come to your field of awareness. Maybe you feel the sounds that are there. You may feel bodily sensations, maybe breathing in your body. Time to time, you may get thoughts. Future planning. These things appear in your mind. Some of you might feel sleepy, certain irritations in your body. A variety of things appear in your field of awareness. Out of these things, we try to prioritize a bodily sensation. A prominent bodily sensation. Maybe you are breathing. We are going to prioritize this sensation among all these things. Thoughts, memories, surrounding sounds, they may be more attractive, but repetitively we try to bring our attention to the breathing. Within few seconds, you may get distracted again. Your attention might wander into something else. But after realizing, you can again bring your attention back to the breathing or back to the bodily sensations. That way, we try to prioritize this particular sensation, the bodily sensation, over other things. We try to maintain our attention there. Let's continue for a few more minutes. Okay, everyone. Now you can open your eyes again. So that's our few minutes of mindful sitting for today. This is just to give you an idea so you can practice on your own. Every day, try to take some time, probably like 15-20 minutes as a start, and sit in a mindful manner. This way you can simply continue your own practice. With that, Sona, you can take over.
Thank you, Bhante. Next in the agenda is to it's a Dhamma talk. For that, again, I will welcome Bhante to start our topic, continue our topic, the Pareto principle that we started last week. Bhante, it's over to you.
Okay. Hello, everyone. So this is a continuation from last week. And it's a very nice idea about our worldly things as well as about our meditation. It's Pareto principle. It says that 80% of the results come from 20% of the causes. A few things are important, most are not. So this is very much valuable in our life, whatever the field that we are interested in. Whatever the field that we want to succeed, this principle is important. This is not like an exact equation. It is not 100% accurate. Instead, it is simply a norm. Sometimes this becomes 90-10. Sometimes this becomes 70-30. So this Pareto principle, it's something we can apply for whatever the areas in our life. Let's say some of the children who are studying, they too can apply these things into their field of study. And they realize if they study 20% of things properly, they can score 80% of the marks. Or maybe some other area in your life, in your business, or in your work. If you do 20% of the things correct, then of course you will get 80% of the results. The remaining 80%, no matter how much you try, still you can get only 20% of the results. So this is more about getting your priorities straight. If you know your priorities, if you correctly understand your priorities, then of course you can give most of your attention to these things, these 20% of little things, and you will get 80% of the results. A few things are important, most things are not. In this new world, we are usually distracted with the unimportant things, trivial things. We are trying to correct them. We give too much of our attention to them. And at the end of the day, no matter how much you try, you end up frustrated. You end up unsuccessful. Why? Because you haven't prioritized your things properly. Our mind is getting distracted. Our mind is getting distracted and we lose our priorities. We forget our priorities. So whatever the field that you are interested in, you can apply this norm, this Pareto principle. You can apply and see what are the important things. What are the important things that will generate 80% of the results? What are the 20% of important things that will generate 80% of the results? This understanding is important. Knowing your priorities are important. Let it be your family matters. Let it be your earnings. Let it be your work. Let it be your education. Whatever the area, if you know how to prioritize them, if you know what are the things that matter, then you'll be successful. You'll be having 80% of the results. Most people, what they do is that they focus on completing everything. they start in a single corner and they try to complete everything. They try to achieve 100%. That's not possible in this world. Unfortunately, not possible. This world is not this. We are living in a twisted world. It is 24 point.
I think once they got disconnected, we will wait for a few minutes to see if he reconnects.
Sonali, can you hear?
And we can hear you now, Bhante. We lost you for a few minutes.
Sorry, I had trouble with my connection. So I was saying that we are living in a tilted world. 23.4 degrees, it is tilted from its axis. So you can't really achieve 100% of things in this world. Instead, if you focus, if you prioritize, and if you get the 20% of important things, then definitely you'll have 80% of the results. So this is the very idea, knowing your priorities, realizing your priorities and spending more energy on them. The remaining things, the trivial things, no matter how much you spend, no matter how much energy, how much time you spend, still you'll have 20% of the results. So knowing your priorities, understanding your priorities, it is important. Now, when I say this, you might think, then everybody will apply this rule in their life and everybody will be successful in their particular field of things. But actually, knowing your priorities, realizing what matters, it's not easy. That's the thing. Most of the time, our mind is distracted. Our mind is distracted, lost in unnecessary things. Trivial things, it is lost in trivial things. So in this distracted mind, we can't really figure out what are the important things. We can't really figure out what are the things that we should prioritize. So that's why we recommend a meditation practice. In this meditation also, you are, in a way, you are getting your priorities straight. Now, let's say mindful walking or mindful sitting. Basically, what you do is you are prioritizing. Most of the time, as I mentioned earlier, in the sitting sessions, the thoughts are more colorful, vivid. The sights that you see during the mindful walking, the sounds that you hear, they are more colorful and vivid. Usually, they grab our attention. They grab our attention, the thoughts grab our attention. These things are colorful, these things are vivid. So the meditator, if the person is a beginner, they will always complain, saying that they can't meditate because of the thoughts, saying that they can't meditate because of the sights, saying that they can't meditate because of the surrounding sounds. But they have to understand this is the very process. Our mind is usually distracted by these trivial things. In order to understand your priorities, you have to go through this very struggle. Among all the vivid things, among all the colorful things, you give attention to the breath. The breath is neutral. It doesn't attract your attention. It is not vivid or it is not colorful. Among all these things, you give priority to the sensations at your feet while walking. The sensations at your feet, it is not vivid, colorful. It is a neutral sensation. So in our training, among all these vivid, colorful things, we try to prioritize this neutral bodily sensation. Let it be your breath. Let it be the sensations at your feet. We try to prioritize this neutral sensation. That is the very training we do. Even while writing your meditation reports, experience sharing, we recommend you to write in a written format, and we recommend you to prioritize the breath over other things, not only in your report, but while meditation also, during the meditation also, you prioritize. We recommend you to prioritize this walking sensations in the walking meditation, the sensations at your feet. We ask you to observe that breath. We ask you to observe the sensations at your feet. And in our meditation report, we prioritize the breathing, or we prioritize the sensations at our feet. We give priority to that object and we write our report. We give priority to that object and we continue our meditation. So this is the very process of meditation. Even experience sharing, we say you have to prioritize the breath. When you go meditate next time, know that there are colorful thoughts, vivid colorful thoughts are there, surrounding sounds, sights are there. But among all these things, we repetitively bring our attention to the neutral sensation. That way we train ourselves. That very training will allow us to get our priorities straight. Usually our mind is distracted because our mind is attracted towards pain and pleasure. When something is pleasurable, without you even knowing, your mind gets lost in that sensation. When something is painful, without you even knowing, your mind gets lost in that sensation. This is the way that mind works. And in this process, you forget your priorities. You forget your priorities and you go after the pleasurable things. You forget your priorities and you go after painful things. That's why some people, they always complain. Whatever they say, they see the negative side. Whatever happens in the world, they only see the negativity. Whatever the other people do, they see that they are trying to get back at me. They are trying to harm me. They only see the negativity. Why? Because their mind is very much attracted to the negative things. Wherever they go, whatever they see, they will only see or grab the negative aspect of things. So what happens? They can't get their priorities straight because their mind is lost in this negativity. They complain. They say, whatever I do, it is not successful. Even before doing the activity, before doing the task, they say that this is not going to work. Why? Because that's my experience. Whatever that I do, it is not going to be successful. So those minds are lost in the negativity. And in the process, they forget their priorities. They don't know what are the important things, what are the smaller portion of important things that matter in life. Instead, they spend their time prioritizing the trivial things. They spend their time complaining about the negative things. Some people, they are after the pleasure. They want to travel the world. They have drug addictions. They have various other addictions. They try to seek for the pleasure. They are after the pleasure. And in the process, they also forget their priorities. That's the definition of addictions. It will harm your lifestyle. It will forget your priorities. It will ruin your life. Why? Because you are after this pleasure-seeking behavior. And the rest of the things, the rest of the life, they become a less priority. That's what happens to the drug addicts. That's their priority in life. Whatever the remaining things, family, job or whatever, they don't care. As long as they can get the today's shot, they are fine. Right? So that way, people are lost in the pleasurable things and they forget the priorities of life. So in our training, we intentionally bring our attention to a neutral sensation. Why we do that? We have to recover our mind from this negative seeking behavior or pain seeking behavior. We have to recover our mind from pleasure seeking behavior. Then only you can get your priorities straight. Otherwise, whenever a pleasurable thing comes, your mind is lost in that. Whenever a painful thing comes, your mind is lost in that. Habitually, you get lost in them. So naturally, you forget your priorities, you go lost, you get lost in those sensations. But in our training, among all these pleasurable things, we repetitively bring our attention to the neutral breathing or neutral bodily sensation. Among all these painful things, we repetitively bring our attention to the neutral bodily sensations. So that very training will recover. That very training will release your mind from all the pleasure and pain seeking. That mind should be recovered in order for you to understand the real priorities of life. It's like you are non-judgmentally observing the things. That is the very nature of mindfulness. You don't take the side of pleasurable things. You don't start hating the painful things. Instead, when there is pleasure, you simply know it as pleasure. When there is pain, you simply know it as pain. When there is neutral sensation, you simply know it as neutral sensation. That very knowing will allow your mind to recover from all this pleasure, pain, seeking process. And when the mind recovers, you can see much bigger picture. You will see a bigger picture and you will understand these are the things that matter. These are my true priorities. That very understanding will come through this process of training ourselves. It can't happen overnight. You can't do it overnight. Instead, you have to gradually train yourself little by little. Be mindful. Sit for 15-20 minutes as a beginner and simply be mindful. Notice among all these pleasurable, painful things, you can acknowledge, you can be conscious of the breathing. Walk for some time and be mindful. Be mindful of the walking body among all these vivid, colorful mind objects. Even in your day-to-day life, whatever the activity you are doing, try to be mindful of that activity. So that way, you try to develop your mindfulness. It is like a muscle in your mind. Initially, it is weak. That's why you don't know your priorities. That's why you can't identify the important things in life. But when the mindfulness grows, you are able to better observe things without getting caught in them. You'll be knowing things as for they are without getting caught in them. That's why Krishnamurti is saying that this is the highest human capacity. What is the capacity? The ability to observe without getting caught in the process. It's like a CCTV camera. You are able to observe. You continue your observation without getting caught in the thing that's happening. That's the very idea. That very unbiased nature will allow the CCTV camera to thrive. Even in today's world, if you go watch those short videos on YouTube, you figure out how much of value these cameras add. Whatever the robbery that happens, people can see without getting without getting into anybody's sight. You know, without putting a blame on anybody, you can simply observe what has happened. Whenever things go wrong, you can observe and see what went wrong. That very nature is there in that observation. So that's why in our mind also, we usually take a side. We say this is good and this is bad. And we try to blame others, we try to judge. But the mindfulness, the very ability, we are trying to continue our observation without getting caught in the process. We are trying to continue our observation without judging, without coming into a conclusion. That very idea is important. And when you do that, when you recover your mind from this process, you understand now you see your priorities much better. Now you are able to figure out what matters in your life. And those things, they are only few things that matters. Most things are not. Most things don't matter. It's only few things that matter. And when you give your time and energy to those things, then you can thrive in your life. That's the very idea. Our energy, our attention is limited. So you can't do all the things in your life. That's not possible. Instead, you have to prioritize your energy. You have to prioritize your attention. That way only you can be successful in life. You understand the important things and you prioritize them over the others. You understand the important things and you give your maximum energy towards those things. And if you do these few things right, then of course you'll be getting 80% of the results. Let it be your work, let it be your family matters, let it be your earnings, let it be your meditation, whatever it is. If you know the few things that matter, then you'll be successful. You can't achieve 100%. That's not possible. It's simply a waste of time and energy. Instead, you do the few things right, you score 80% of the results, and that will be sufficient, more than enough for you to survive. So that's the very idea. That very training is important. Most people can't figure out their priorities in life because their mind is lost in thoughts, because their mind is always distracted. So the very first thing you have to do is recover your mind from this process. Develop this ability to observe without getting caught in the process. More you develop that ability, easier for you to understand the real priorities in life. So that way, you have to continue. And when you continue that way, you realize you achieve much better results in life. Even the time and energy, you can manage. You can manage. Most people, they think that they start early morning, they work till night, and they'll be successful. That's not how it works. You can't work with your mind. You can't work with your energy like that. It's not possible. You have to always empty your capacity. You have to keep your capacity empty in your mind. That way only you can understand the real things, the things that matter. That's why we say usually the worldly people, they are mind full. Two words, their minds are full. Full of garbage, full of thoughts, full of distractions. But when you are mindful, a single word, when you are mindful, your mind is more empty. You hear the sound of the surrounding birds. You see the colors of the sky. Why? Because your mind is more empty. Capacity is empty. That way you know your true priorities. That way you know what you have to do. That way you can easily identify the important things in your life. That's the very idea of mindfulness. We are not trying to make our mind full. We are not trying to, you know, maintain all the things in our mind, all the thoughts, memories, all the things. Some people try like that. They think that if you are mindful, you should be able to recall everything. You should be able to hear everything. You should be able to remember everything. That way they think about mindfulness. That's not true. That's not true. Imagine on those new flat screen TVs, you can watch two channels. One main channel and another on the side. What happens if you can watch 20 channels? Will it be comfortable? No, you'll go crazy in your mind. By so many distractions, you can't even pay attention to a single thing. So most people think when you're mindful, your mind will be like that. No, that's crazy. That's crazy. You will go crazy if it works like that. No, mindfulness, it allows you to free up your capacity in the mind. And whenever necessary, you can pay attention to a single thing and you can see it vividly and colorfully. Then again, you let go of that thing. Your mind is freed. You have this comfortable nature. You have this peace in your mind. Again, you bring your attention to something, something important, something valuable. You can do it successfully. Again, you let go. That way only you can do things successfully. The mind is more empty and you are able to put your energy, put your attention into the necessary things. That's the real idea of the practice. That's the real idea. When you do this, when you experience this, you get to realize it more and more. It's not about book learning. That's not how it works. This should be experienced. Even today morning, I got to speak to some people, a gathering. Like half of them were new. So I told them, you can hear my words, you can get certain idea, but that's not enough. Instead, you have to practice and experience what this mindfulness is. That experience will allow you to, you know, understand much better. Then again, we discuss like this, how to practice, what's the proper way to continue in this type of situation. That way we discuss. Again, you go and practice. When you do it like that, then the mindfulness will be stronger and you are able to observe much better without getting caught in the process. Mindfulness is always evolving. Today's answer, today's experience is not valid for tomorrow. Tomorrow you'll have a whole new experience. Tomorrow's experience not valid for day after tomorrow. That dynamic, that evolving, the mindfulness is. And more you see this process, more you experience this process, you realize every time when you sit like a rank beginner. Every time when you walk like a rank beginner. Most people, they try to say, I have meditated for 12 years and this is what I have gathered. If they are saying they have gathered something by meditation, then utter foolishness. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. More you practice, you'll be a rank beginner. Every time you sit like a beginner, you start like a beginner and you sit for like 40 minutes, 1 hour. At the end of the day, you get up and you haven't accumulated, you haven't gathered anything. When you walk like a baby, you walk like a rank beginner. You walk for 1 hour, at the end of the day, you haven't gathered anything. That is the very nature of the mindfulness. If you think you have gathered something, if you think that you have progressed in meditation for so many years, then something is wrong. More you practice, more you let go. Not the other way around. We are not trying to meditate and accumulate things. That's not the case. Instead, more you practice, more advanced your practice, you let go of things easily. You walk for 1 hour and you can't remember anything. That's the best level of mindfulness, because if it goes to the memory, then there should be some attachment. Without attachment, it won't go to the memory. You sit for 1 hour, that 1 hour, you were sure that you were mindful, but you can't gather anything, you can't recall anything. You were sitting, things happening, but nothing went to the memory. So that's a good sign that you have evolved in your practice. Your mindfulness is stronger. You are not so much attached to the things. Things come and go, but it doesn't make an impact in your mind. That very process is important. You have to practice and experience these things. That's the very idea. So today's idea, very important, very much valuable, even towards your life, earnings, education, whatever you are interested in, you can apply this norm. Even when it comes to meditation, you can apply this norm. It's about 80-20 rule, Pareto principle. It says that a few things are important, most things are not. 20% of things, causes, will give you 80% of results. So it's a very nice topic. Thank you for participating. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Bhante. That was a very interesting topic and very interesting talk. We should all remember to prioritize our most important tasks and not to be affected by the surrounding and be more like a CCTV, like he said. Next on the agenda is the question and answer session and the reports reading. Can I please invite Namantha to present the reports for today?
Oh, thank you, Sonali. There are two reports received for today, and after we present these two reports, we would invite any of you to raise verbal questions or make verbal statements about your mindfulness practice. So I will start with the first report. Mindful walking, walked on tile floor, noted feet movement, shifting of weight, some changing sensations in the body, noted the readiness in the mind for the activity of walking, heard some sounds, although attention effortlessly returned to feet movements. Thoughts would emerge at times and sensation of walking would replace those thoughts. Hip pain sensed halfway through, feet placements became erratic. Mind was calm and accepting of whatever was happening. Walked for one hour. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion in a comfortable position. Breath noticed around the nostrils area at first. Slight movement of upper body from front to back noted. Subtle breath noticed. Cool sensation moved through body. Stillness observed in the mind. Some sounds and thoughts noticed as if in the background. Breath noticed around nostrils area again, which became lighter after a while. Pressure on the bottom sensed, but posture not changed. Upper body swaying front and back. Rise and fall of stomach observed. Posture adjusted to ease pressure in legs. Calmness experienced. Became aware of sleepiness. Sat for 1 hour. Mindfulness during the day. There were concerns around coming to Sri Lanka last weekend. Tickets were booked before the heat wave in the country and common consensus was to postpone the trip. Worry arose many times but noticed it as a thought and decided to come anyway. First night in Colombo, there were thunderstorms, so the following morning was cool and fresh. Rain in the evening followed few more days. Learned a recent lesson again that there is a gap between worry about the future and what is presently happening. While it is still very warm, managing fine so far. Reminder that things can change in an instant, so no use in planning too far ahead. Acceptance of what is and peace that arises in mind with acceptance noted with this experience. Continuing with daily formal practice of mindfulness and planning to send this report and to hopefully join the beginners mindfulness program. Many friends and relatives offer various invites but managed to mindfully postpone the afternoon meetup with friends for after 2:30 p.m. so that time during this program is kept free. Really wanted to join a meditation program while in Sri Lanka, but it seemed like causes and conditions have not ripened yet. Cannot do Nisaran 1A 7-day program at end of May as return ticket booked for a date midway through the retreat. There were moments of disappointment at the beginning of this week, although now it is turned to acceptance of what is. Therefore, peace returns more often in the mind. Also remembered that a place is confirmed for end of June, 7-day retreat by most venerable Dhammajiva Thero, hence looking forward to that. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valued feedback. Much merits to you and the organizers, Theruvan Saranai. End of report, Bhante.
Okay, let me start with one of the comments in the walking meditation report. It says that the attention goes to thoughts, but naturally return to the walking sensations, right? The thoughts are replaced by the sensations at your feet. So that's a very nice observation. If you are a beginner, initially we advise you to bring your attention intentionally to the walking, to the breathing. That's what we do. But when you mature in your practice, you don't have to do much. Instead, you realize if you simply stay mindful, the thoughts are replaced with the sensations of your feet. The thoughts are replaced with the breathing sensations. You simply have to be mindful. When you reached to that milestone, the meditation becomes much easier. You are not struggling much. You don't have to do much. Instead, it's more like a walk in the park. Simply walk and, you know, appreciate the walking. Sit and appreciate the sitting. And when you're mindful, you realize whatever the thoughts that come, naturally they are replaced with the bodily sensations. Whatever the worries that come, naturally they are replaced with something else. That very confidence is there in your practice. That is important. Most people, they don't get that confidence easily. It takes so much time for some people. They think that thoughts are there. I can't get rid of the thoughts. I have to bring my attention to the breathing. I have to force it. All those complaints come. But if you just allow things to manifest, you realize naturally the bodily sensations are replaced. Naturally, the thoughts are replaced with bodily sensations. Although they are replaced, again the thoughts appear. But again, after a while, you can see again you are back with the breathing, back with the walking. That confidence is important. When that confidence is there, as meditation, you don't have to do much. Instead, simply walk and enjoy the process. Just sit and enjoy the process. You know that the meditation is happening, you simply witness it. That very understanding, that very maturity is important. Then when we come to the second part of your report, the worrying, right? That's more like a hobby to most people. Whatever happens, they worry. Not only worry by themselves, they even advise the others. They say, don't go there is a heat storm, you'll get a heat stroke, something like that, they will say. True, the heat is there, but you don't have to worry so much. When some illness, some symptoms appear in your body, they start worrying. This could be a cancer, this could be something else, I might die. All those worries come. You simply have a small symptom in your body, something. But you start worrying. Whenever things go wrong, family matters, problems come, you worry a whole lot. In reality, you don't have to suffer so much. In reality, it's not that bad. But in your mind, it creates this hell kind of situation. This worrying mind, it can create, you know, dragons in your mind. Right? You become fearful. You start, you know, you get depressed. That's how the mind works. That's how the mind works. But in reality, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. You can manage. You can manage. So that very experience taught you that lesson. But again, some other day, when some new experience come also, your mind will start the same worrying process. Your family members, since they love you so much, they will add to that worry. Right? So that very process, you have to go through again and again, repetitively, in order to understand the true nature of things. This experience counts. But next time also, you will worry into a certain level. Again, you can go through that experience and see. So that way, you have to repetitively do it. And when you do it, you realize there's no real point in planning so much ahead. There's no real point in worrying so much. The things, they don't work according to your plans. The worries, in reality, they are not so bad. Right? So that very understanding, that very insight into life is important. But it's a learning process. There's a learning curve on this. It won't happen overnight. It won't happen only because you go through a single incident. That's not how it works. Maybe 1001 times you have to go through similar situations. And at the end of the day, if you keep meditating, if you keep continuing this observation, at the end of the day, you realize now you don't have to worry so much. Your mind, or the way you experience the world, it changes. It changes. Temporary, you can't see that change. Within few weeks, you can't see that change. But when you continue for few months, few years, then suddenly it hits you. I used to worry so much, but now I don't worry. Still, the worrying is there, but not so bad. That very realization will come if you continue your practice like this. So that's the very idea. Then retreats, those things, they too are part of the worrying process. Of course, it's good if you can reserve some time, make room for a retreat. Of course, it's good. But you try, sometimes it's not possible. What to do? Maybe next time. Maybe next time. So that way, whether you are at home, whether you are at a monastery, you have to simply continue this practice. That's the very idea. If you continue like that, it'll grow, the practice will go, and you'll be better off in the future. That's the very idea. So don't worry about those retreats so much. You can catch the next one for 7 days. So that's a relief. But wherever you are, try to continue with your meditation. Most people think that you have to be in a monastery in order to meditate. You have to be in a retreat in order to meditate. Of course, that's a good start. But when you know meditation, even during your lunchtime, you can meditate. Even brushing your teeth, you can meditate. Even walking to the train station, you can meditate. Even seated in a bus, you can meditate. So that very understanding is important. Otherwise, you will always postpone meditation for a future retreat. That's not the way. Instead, whatever you do, approach it as a meditation. When you are mindful of a single step, maybe to your train station, still that very step count as a meditation. You are seated in a crowded bus, you observe few breath cycles, that too is, it counts as meditation. That is the very process, that is the very approach. You can't live your life in a monastery, you know, that's not possible. You can't apply for a lifetime retreat. Maybe as a monk you can. But even most of the monks, they get frustrated about meditation and, you know, they destroy. So that's they are. That's they are. They come, they stay for a few days, then they go away. Blaming the meditation, cursing the meditation. So that's maybe a wrong approach. Maybe a wrong approach. Wherever you are, you can meditate. Whatever you do, you can meditate. That very approach is important. That very approach is important. And in this today's world, this new age, even the word meditation, it's a cursed word. It's a cursed word because so many people, they have their own unique method of meditation and, you know, they keep preaching that. So people, they get really confused about what is the proper way of meditation. So instead of even the word meditation, we say mindfulness. Whatever you do, be mindful. That's the true way of meditating. Thank you for sharing your experience.
Thank you, Bhante, for insightful advice. And moving on to the second report, I will start now. Walking meditation. Walked on tile floor indoors, initially with socks on and later without. In the latter half, walked on tiled area outdoors. Noted the differing sensations of cold, warmth, weight, more on one foot than the other at times. Moist areas and warmth between the toes noted, and removal of socks to observe if there was a change. Sensations on one toe observed to arise and pass, the weight reducing as foot lifted, the changing nature of cold and warmth observed. Outside, noted similar sensations, but the grass, weeds between tiles were noted to give rise to a tickling sensation on parts of feet. The thoughts to avoid the ants, insects observed, and then proliferation of thoughts noted to pass, and mind went back to feet after short time. Walked for 45 minutes. Sitting meditation. Primary object, noting what objects the mind takes during the sitting session. After adjusting posture to sit symmetrically, the mind went to the breath. Thoughts including qualities of the Buddha, recollections of Dhamma talks, discussions, etc., noted to come and go. Images, plans for future, sounds, all observed, but mind kept coming back to breath on and off. At times the breath disappeared and mind noted its reappearance. Sat for 1 hour. Daily mindfulness. Had a relatively flexible day with few planned activities and decided to be mindful as much as possible. Woke up and mind noted posture of body and observed when body was moved on the bed and covers removed. Mind on feet walking to toilet and the cold sensation of water on hands and mind, then lost in thoughts. Walked mindfully during the day during daily activities. Noted mind staying on Dhamma most of the morning, including listening to a sermon and reading the Sutta and a Dhamma discussion with a friend. Noted greed arising in the afternoon for ice cream. Restlessness of mind noted and countered by writing down the salient points of Dhamma talk listened to earlier in the day and doing a session of walking meditation which made the mind alert again. Noted thoughts of metta arising and counseling family member who was upset, noting how dukkha arises with attachment. As reflecting on the day, became aware in retrospect of the times that were not spent mindfully. Spent a very happy, peaceful and contented day. End of report, Bhante.
Okay, in this report, the earlier comment that the observation like a CCTV camera, that idea is important. Now, the very value of the camera is that it is not taking a side. It is not judging. That's why in this new age they called the CCTV God. Why? Because it is not taking any sides. It is not judging. That's why that's the true God nature, right? Not judging, simply witnessing. That very idea is important. Now in your report you have positives and negatives arising. Greed, worry, likes, dislikes, those things are there. Then the positive sides like recollection of Dhamma, metta, all those things. Usually people think those worries, greed, they are bad and I should attach myself more and more to the positive qualities. That's true. Initially, that's true. That's true. For a beginner, it's true. But when we mature in your practice, if you truly want to mature in your practice, you have to understand whether it is positive or negative. Still, you have to act like a CCTV camera. don't suppress the negative, don't encourage the positive. That's the very idea of meditation. So this part, most of the people, they don't get it. Unfortunately, they can't move beyond that point if they don't get it. That's the sadness in that. They meditate for so many years, but they still grab the good and try to suppress the bad. Although it is true initially, when you move beyond a certain point, you have to understand in meditation, whatever the positive things, whatever the negative things, simply be conscious of them. Simply continue observation. Observe what is positive things as positive things, negative things as negative things. Liking, disliking, just know that liking is there. Know that disliking is there. That very knowing is the quality of that CCTV. If you have that quality, then you will go beyond good and bad. Otherwise, you are attached to good and eventually bad will follow. Evil will follow. Right? If you want to truly go beyond those things, then you have to even let go of the Dhamma one day. When we say that, most people, they don't like it. But that's the truth. Buddha says, I'm preaching this as a raft. So you can cross the river, but when you cross the river, you don't need the raft anymore. You have to let go of it. If you keep holding the raft, then of course you are stuck there. So that's the very idea. At a certain point, you have to even let go of all the good and bad in this world. Greed, observe it as greed. Metta, observe it as metta. That very evolution should be there in your meditation. Otherwise, you'll get stuck here. You'll get stuck for years even. You'll get stuck for eons even. Right, so if you want to really move beyond this point, then you have to understand whether it's good or bad. I just continue with my observation. I'm not encouraging the good. I'm not suppressing the bad. That very change should happen in you. And that'll allow your meditation to evolve into a whole new level, whole new frequency. Thanks.
Thank you, Bhante. And next, we have another written question from in the Zoom chat section from Victor. Thank you, Victor, for presenting that question. I would read out the question to Bhante. How to be aware of the constant changing nature of phenomena without memory, without the science that enable us to be aware that the anterior picture or abstraction of the phenomena that has now vanished? I am exploring Bhikkhu Anālaya's approach of Satipatthana Sutta. I think that he explains that one of the nuances of sati has to be with the ability to better recall what has been experienced with mindfulness in the past, and also even more if sati is established at the moment of trying to recall it in the present. To me, this makes this idea makes sense because it could help to better appreciate change or otherwiseness. Thank you. End of report, Bhante.
Thanks for being interested in the practice and thanks for presenting a question. But in this question, those are all thoughts, ideas, concepts, right? In our practice, we try to appreciate the present moment more and more. You may have to, you know, start with the breath. Try to continue a sitting session for a few minutes and try to see, can you let go of all these ideas, views, and simply be present with the breath? Can you let go of this, all these ideas, views, and simply be present with the walking sensations? That very, very simpleness, that very approach is important. Otherwise, what we do is that we get stuck in thoughts, proliferations, mental proliferations, and we think that's the correct practice, but that's not true. You can't do it in this way. That's not possible. Instead, what you have to do is that you have to allow the simple practice to evolve. Most people, what happens is that they are too much learned in the practice of Dhamma. They have covered so many sutras, they know so many Pali terms, and at the end of the day, they end up confusing themselves with all those thoughts, views, ideas. They forget this very simple, this very approachable present moment. That's the thing. So that present moment, it is not so vivid, not so colorful, but whatever the Dhamma that you are searching, it's there. There's very nice analogy or a simile about a person who is chasing a rainbow. This person is trying to chase a rainbow. He's trying to find a rainbow by traveling. But in reality, that's almost impossible. You have to have these special weather conditions, proper angles, everything, in order to have a rainbow. So this person, he travels the world trying to catch a rainbow, but at the end of the day, end up frustrated. So most people, they search for Dhamma in this way. They try to find the Dhamma in the complex sutras, complex thoughts, complex proliferations. But at the end of the day, they end up frustrated. But instead, the proper approach is, at dawn, if you look with a proper angle, even a droplet, a water droplet, with the proper angle, you can see the rainbow through that. That simplicity is important. You are not chasing, you know proper angle, you know how to look, and it's there. It's there. So that way, if you approach Dhamma, then it's not so complicated. It's not so difficult. We don't have to exhaust ourselves searching for a rainbow. That's not possible. That's not how it works. And one more thing, when you're mindful, it's not about, the earlier I mentioned, it's not about making your mind full. Full of memories, full of garbage. That's not how it works. Instead, your mind is empty. Whenever your attention is directed towards something, you can see it vividly. You can recall it vividly. In order for that to happen, you have to let go of this garbage in your mind. Let go of all these thoughts, proliferations in your mind. You have to free up your capacity. Then only you can recall whatever that's necessary. You recall the memory address and it is there, vivid and colorful. But in order for you to do that, you have to empty your mind of these trivial things, trivial day-to-day matters, trivial day-to-day worries. Those things occupy most of our minds. That's the issue. That's the issue. Even the teachings, they too occupy our mind as mental proliferations. So instead, simply accept the present moment. Every day, try to walk for like 20 minutes, try to sit for like 20 minutes and share your meditation experience. This question, we'll keep it hold for a while. We'll keep it hold, we'll revisit in a month, we'll revisit in 2 months, we'll revisit in 3 months and see how our view of this very question changes with actual practice. The simplicity of the present moment. For that, you have to do daily meditation. Even for a person who is really busy with their lives, still they can spend like 30-40 minutes doing a walking sitting session. That's not too difficult. That's not too much to ask. So if that day you can continue for a few months, then after a few months, when you revisit this very question, you may have a totally different perspective about it. That very evolution is there when you truly practice. In a way, I am postponing your question. I am not answering your question. Instead, I have a different approach, which is much more simpler. which is much more effective. We are simply accepting this present moment. In that present moment, whatever the Dhamma that we are searching, whatever the deep things that we are trying to find, it's there. It's already there. That very approach is important. So try to meditate next time. Present a meditation report after weeks of practice, probably 7 days of practice, and we'll see how you know that you're walking, how you can maintain your mindfulness among all these thoughts, distractions, how you know that you are seated, how you can maintain your mindfulness among all these distractions. So that very approach is practical. That very approach is simple. This question, we'll keep it for a future day and we'll revisit. Thank you for your interest in the session.
Thank you, Bhante, and thank you, Victor, for the question. Would there be any verbal questions or verbal statements from any of you? You can, if yes, you can raise a Zoom hand and we will let you have the opportunity to address Bhante with your question or statement on mindfulness. I think there are no questions at the moment. I think I missed out on the beginner's guide at the beginning of the question and answer session. I will share the screen quickly for that guide and go through it. If you are able to raise a question afterwards, it's fine. We can present that question as well. So this is the guide for beginners, and we have the mindful walking and mindful sittings in point number one. These are all in your Zoom chat section. You can go through the mindful walking video and the mindful sitting video on YouTube and gain a fairly thorough understanding of what must be done in each of these practices. So it's fairly simple to start with, and we would encourage you to go through the videos. Then you can allocate some time daily, starting from about 20 minutes to 1 hour, as your timetable or your schedule permits. And you can practice these two sessions, one after the other, for several days. And once you complete this practice for 3-4 days, you can start writing a report. The writing of the report has a way of constructively enforcing your own understanding of your mindfulness, so we encourage this very much. So you can write about what you experienced during mindful walking, whether when the feet were touching the floor, or when the focus shifted away into an external object and you regained focus on your feet, how you experienced this. These are the details that should be included into the report. Same for mindful sitting. The focus breath should be the primary object of focus, or you can have the abdomen rising and falling as the object, or any other physical sensations, and you can describe how you felt your focus on these objects, or whether the focus shifted away and shifted back in, and how you recognize these. Then you can send the report through email or through the Google form in the chat section, and we will present it to Bhante for his review and advice. The earlier session recordings are there in the last fifth point, and you can copy all this and save for use in a later time when you are writing the report, for example. So that is the end of the introduction to beginners. And if there are any verbal questions, I'll give a moment again to raise Zoom hand and present those questions. I think we do not have any verbal questions being presented today. So I would like to hand over to Sonali again to continue. Thank you. Thank you, Sonali, and thank you, Bhante.
Thank you, Namantha. That was a good session, and I'm sure everyone has some good take-homes from this session today. It is almost time to finish the session, so I will have to now make sure that we thank all the, on behalf of the organizers, thank Venerable Homagama Dhamma Kosala Thero for his guidance on this program, and also the chief abbot of Nisaranwanaya, who initiated this program, Bhante Udayiriyagama Dhammajiva Mahathero. May these merits help them improve their own practice. And thank you to all the organizers who are maintaining and organizing this program behind the scene. And thank you and much merits to everyone who participated today and also listening via Facebook live stream and or will be downloading to listen later. So I think that is the end of the session. We wish you a happy and mindful week ahead. Mamantha, end the session.